That was really some beautiful worship. Thank you for that. So good to be in a smaller church, an area where we really don't care about all the frills and thrills. We just want to worship the Lord. This time is about us worshiping Him and nothing else. And thank you for making us a part of that, part of your morning, and just joining us to worship the living Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Before we get to the second half of last week's message, I'd like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we trust you. We walk in your wisdom, in your truth. We believe you're alive, intervening in each of our lives, in control. Lord, I pray now as we open your word that you will use it to strengthen us, give us direction and hope and wisdom. Lord, we will glorify you. And if we don't, the rocks will cry out. But we will glorify you. You alone count. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a good time at the ice skating rink yesterday. Some people were falling before the throne, so to speak. Anybody with a bump and a bruise from the ice skating rink yesterday? No? All right. Last week, we began Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We went through verses 14 as a roadmap, a blueprint for adversity. And whereas I said I couldn't promise, I had no idea, crystal ball was not open, no idea what 2021 brings, I could pretty much guarantee adversity from somewhere in maybe 1,000 places. And so when we came across that particular chapter in our men's Bible study, it just jumped off the page at us that is for today. So we looked at the first 14 verses. Let me hit you a couple of highlight verses, because things are backwards. Things are backwards than what we think. For instance, in verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. It's better to go to a funeral than a wedding. It's better to go there. Verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter. Sorrow is better than laughter. Verse 4, the heart of the wise person is in the house of mourning, but the heart of a fool is in the house of pleasure. That's all backwards than what we normally think. But key, that the wise man's heart gravitates to and understands that in the house of sorrow and mourning, there is great accomplishment. But the fool just wants to live life for the next fun thing. It should be fun. And that is America in a lot of ways. I mean, that is what we live for, pleasure. Churches have adopted their format and their style to accommodate entertainment and pleasure and incorporate in some of the Word of God, some of the truth of worship. That's why I love this simplicity of our church. There is no pretense. It's just Him. It's just worshiping Him. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the fool just seeks pleasure, just wants the next fun thing. Verse 8, better's the end of something, a thing, than its beginning. When it's over, whew, it's so good. Better's the end. And it's better, he says here, the patient, the person who is patient, who knows, I need to wait this out. I just need to walk with the Lord. I just need to stand close to Him. The patient person is better than the proud or the angry. Or the person who just keeps looking back and says, man, yesteryear was so much better. Why can't we just be like we were 10 years ago? We're moving forward, and better is the end, and there's great accomplishment in it. In the house of mourning, if that be the adversity, there's great things the Lord can do in it. And the wise person understands that and is patient to go through it, to look ahead. Wisdom is good in verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. But wisdom has the advantage over money. Wisdom has the advantage over money. Now later on in Ecclesiastes, he will say money answers everything. But here he says, the advantage of knowledge and wisdom is that it preserves life. It preserves, and that's soul life. Money is an answer to everything, but wisdom will preserve our soul life, our relationship to God, the life of God in us, and money can't do that. Money will fix our problem. Money will give us solution, but it will not preserve our soul. And wisdom has the advantage over money, because it will keep our soul healthy before God. Verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. Big statement here. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. God has made adversity as well as the joyful times, so that man cannot know what's next. Now, we looked through all this passage last Sunday. That was the message in a nutshell, having no idea what was coming in our country this week. Everybody's hoping things are settling down, and no, they happen to be blowing up. We didn't know. We didn't know that was happening. We just knew there's probably adversity coming for a lot of reasons. And so then this week happened at the White House. This passage of Scripture is still true. Amen. It's still true. My Lord lives. Amen. And we have joy and adversity at His hand. And great, great is the accomplishment of the house of mourning and sorrow and adversity in Christ. In Christ. I just noticed my sister sitting there, and I am so blessed to see you. Thank you. Good morning. I love you. Good to see you. Man, is it good to see you. Let me put things in quick perspective, before I get to this scripture passage. Reason is, as this week happened, I've noticed a number of Christian teachers, scholars, people, politicians, many saying things like the death of America, the end of democracy, blah, 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 blah. And pretty much shoveling dirt over America and putting a cross in the ground. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But let me remind you of a couple of things that have happened in our history that would probably make this week look a little less like a death sentence. In April of 1865, President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. In November 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated, the president. President Garfield, President McKinley were assassinated. And they estimate that President Gerald Ford survived two assassination attempts in 17 days, and countless others have been foiled by our security and police throughout the presidencies of many men. So, trouble, adversity on this national landscape is nothing new to our country, to this democracy we call America. What happened this week is wrong, but adversity has followed us through our history, and even worse, adversity. And through that adversity, whether it be on a national level or in your life and in your family, God reigns, and God accomplishes some of the most amazing things that can be accomplished in the house of mourning, in sorrow. And I don't want us to lose sight of that fact. Great things can happen for the kingdom of God now. Now, we are not done. It is not over. I don't have a crystal ball, but I do have a Bible. In life, life is happening. God is happening. So, briefly, let's look at these next few verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 15. In my vain life, I've seen everything. There's a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It's good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from them both. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man, more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Don't take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I've tested by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which has been is far off and deep, very deep. Who can find it? I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things, and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death: the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. Behold, this is what I found, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among 1,000 I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes, many schemes. So he begins. He says he's seen everything. And he's seen a righteous person, a righteous, upstanding person, just living life righteously, pursuing God. Boom, gone. Gone. And then there's this evil, wicked person who is just one thing after another, pursuing his wickedness. And in his life, he just seems to escape one thing after another. He has nine lives. He should have been dead here, and his life just keeps going. But the righteous man, just gone in his righteousness. And so he makes this very strange statement, at least by appearance, it seems strange, when he says, don't be overly righteous. Don't make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? And he's not saying, don't study, don't read your Bible, don't pursue this too hard, just chill, just moderation. He's not saying that. He's saying, don't make yourself too wise. Don't raise yourself up too righteously or too wisely. You can destroy yourself when you make yourself too wise. And just like the fool who is so wicked that he's just begging death to take him, the one who fears God will be delivered from both death sentences. The one who truly fears God will be delivered from making himself so wise above everyone else. He puts himself above everyone else. He makes himself so wise and so righteous. He puts himself up there above others. The fear of God will deliver him from that. Just like the fear of God will deliver the wicked man from all his wickedness that makes that front page headlines. They're both destructive. But the fear of God has the power to bring them both out. What a great sentence. The fear of God. Now you know from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. You know this. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know that. So he's not talking about just blanket wisdom. He is saying that we need to refrain ourselves from seeing ourselves as too wise or too righteous and above the other. And truly, truly fearing the Lord and finding just the beginning, the starting point of true wisdom. Now this corresponds to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 7 reads this ways. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Let me read that again. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Being overly wise, overly righteous in your own eyes, making yourself that, setting yourself up, that is every bit as destructive as those wicked, foolish sins we all look at and see around us and make fun of, quite honestly. Shake our head in sadness or disgust. Setting yourself up there in your own eyes is destructive. Fear of God will deliver you. The fear of God is the very beginning of true wisdom in his life. He continues, verse 19, wisdom gives strength to the wise man, more than 10 rulers who are in a city. This fear of God wisdom gives us strength. It's not the end. To fear God, to kneel before his throne, to empty ourselves humbly before him, doesn't end our life. It doesn't end what's happening. It just begins it. Let me read a few Proverbs to you. That's the great wisdom book, isn't it? Let me read a few Proverbs to you and just show you what I mean when we find this wisdom. When we are able to humble ourselves under God's hand, not being smarter or better or over others or too wicked. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, or the storm, the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. There are many people afraid today with what's going on. There's fear everywhere. For a number of reasons, people are scared. They're losing sleep. They're afraid terror is coming to our town. When we kneel before the throne, when we put away our mighty wisdom and knowledge and kneel before his, empty ourselves to his, we find strength and security and peace and sleep, and he'll keep our feet from stumbling. Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. Listen. And his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Care about your children? You look forward in these days and years ahead, wondering and fearful of what they face. Well, they have the same refuge that you and I have. And he's bigger than it all. He's more powerful than it all. The fear of the Lord has strong confidence. Do you have confidence, or has it been shaken? And his children will have a refuge. It's a fountain of life. In a culture of death and chaos, fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It gives life to your soul. Whether you are righteous and wise above all in your own eyes, or just a wicked fool? Fear of the Lord. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Fear of the Lord. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man, more than 10 rulers who were in a city. Let me paraphrase that for you. Ecclesiastes 7:19. Wisdom gives strength to the truly wise man who fears the Lord. Wisdom gives him strength more than 10 government officials in a city. When 10 government officials come to the city, they usually come with an entourage and maybe security and military. But you and I, in the fear of the Lord, can have the strength that's beyond that. That supersedes 10 government officials in a city. Now, why is that? Because it's God. Because it's God. And if God is truly our strength, what is stronger? What is mightier? By faith, we accept that offer. By faith, Lord, you are my strength. More than 10 government officials in any city. You are my strength. So, we have this adversity. It's all around us now. And I sure don't want to prop myself up over it like I'm God and I have the final answer. Final answer. I don't. Neither do you. I don't care what your answer is, you don't have the final answer. You are not the encyclopedic answer to the chaos that we see. Your righteousness and wisdom is not final answer. And neither is your foolishness and your sin. Oh, I don't care. Let's just go get drunk. That's not the answer either. Both are destructive. Final answer is to fear the Lord and understand we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We all need to fear the Lord. We all need to humble ourselves down. There is none of us who do not need to kneel before the throne of God. And so he writes, surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. There is no man that I need to turn to for the final answer, supreme safety in this adversity. There is none. I just need to get on my face before God and humbly repent. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 government officials. And there's none righteous. No, not one. So let's turn to God. Let's turn to God. Romans 3:23, New Testament, echoes that same thought. There's none righteous. No, not one. The wages of sin are death. We know that verse. We know that. Let's go first to God. Let's go first to the Lord. If you want an example, he gives you an example. Don't take to heart all the things people say. I could stop right there. I could stop right there. Don't take to heart everything people say. Don't take to heart everything you read on the internet. Don't take to heart everything everybody, Twitters or Facebooks, don't take it to heart. I could stop right there, But that's not really what this verse says. Don't take to heart all the things people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. You hear someone talking bad about you. That happens, doesn't it? So I'm not going to take it to heart, everything I hear people saying, everything I read. I'm not going to take it to heart because it could be wrong. I hear people bad-mouthing me, cursing me, throwing me under the bus. I could take that to heart. But do you know what the answer is? Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others too. I'm just as bad as they are. I've done it. So I'm not going to take it to heart and throw you under the bus. You don't take it to heart, throw me under the bus. I'm not going to take everything I read and hear under and throw them under the bus. Guess what? We all just need to fear God. We all just need to get on our face before that old rugged cross and fear God, and that will be the beginning of our journey of wisdom. What a beautiful thing. All this I've tested by wisdom, he says, and he made a statement, I will be wise, I can do this. But no, it was far from me. That which has been is far off and deep, very deep. Who can find it? So, no matter how hard he tried, and he was a smart man, he was a wise man, he couldn't get to the finish line with wisdom. He himself was not the final answer. So he says, he concludes this way, verse 25. I turned my heart to know and search out and to seek wisdom. He turned his heart. It's a heart issue. He turned his heart to search and to seek. That's a good thing. I pray that over us. I pray that we are turning our hearts to seek true wisdom, not listening to everything we hear and read, not listening to everyone that says conservatives or Christians are the enemy. I'm not going to listen to all of that. I'm going to search and to seek out wisdom. I'm going to think. He turned his heart to know the scheme of things. He wanted to know wisdom, and he wanted to know foolishness, and he wanted to know madness, and he wanted to know how it all worked together. That's the scheme of things. How this machine run. He wanted to know life. He wanted to figure it out. Wow, they're wise, they're stupid, they're foolish, they're... How does this all work? How does God do this? He says, I did find something that was more painful than death. The woman whose heart was a snare, a trap, a net. Her hands were fetters. Oh, that adulterous woman of Proverbs. He traps that guy, grabs him. Ruin your life in a second. Men, drink from your own fountain. Drink from your own fountain. Do not wander. It's more bitter than death. You think death is bad. This will hurt. He did find that. He who pleases God escapes her. And he says in verse 27, behold, this is what I found. This is what I found, says the preacher. While adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things. I just want to know how all this works. And my soul has sought it repeatedly, but I haven't come to grips with it. I don't know fully what's going on. It's amazing on the internet today, if you haven't been censored or put in Facebook jail or something, it's amazing how many people seem to think they've found an answer. They found how this all works. They know what's going on. They have the truth. Well, even King Solomon in all his wisdom didn't have it. So I doubt that everything we read or hear is going to be it. My soul has repeatedly sought to find out. I've been searching for wisdom. Someone, somewhere. This little phrase, one man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found, simply means it's a needle in a haystack. Good luck. It's a needle in a haystack. Good luck. If you're looking for the final answer, the final man, the person, good luck. It's a needle in a haystack. See, he says in verse 29, he ends this, See, this alone is what I found. That God made man upright, but they just continually seek out one thing after another, one scheme after another. Their mind and their heart just keep working and devising one scheme, one thing after another. And few there be that come to the cross on their knees and fear the Lord and put all man's wisdom and glory aside and begin the journey of wisdom with God. Empty-handed, empty pockets. I just want God's wisdom. I just want to live, walk in the Lord's wisdom. And that's where we need to be. That's where you and I need to be to bear the fruit that we want to bear in this time. To see God alive and well and thriving and blooming and shining and glorying at this time. That's where you and I need to be, understanding who we are. Not condemning one another, because we've all condemned each other at one time. Our mouth have got the best of all of us. Not listening to every voice in the wind. We know there's nothing there. Coming to the wisdom of God on our knees, humbly. That old Christian word that everybody hates today because they want to go to church to be entertained and have fun and have light and easy. But that old Christian word, repent. Just to fall on our knees before God, empty ourselves, confess our sins, fear Him, and feel His love fill our hearts, His forgiveness. And that's the beautiful thing about this message. Did you know of all the things in life you can count on 100% of the time? Here's one thing you can count on. Every time we fall on our face before the Lord and repent and fear Him 100% of the time, He forgives and receives us. 100% of the time, He forgives you. I don't know of a better deal anywhere. Amazon doesn't have it. 100% of the time. So, I don't know what the answer is. If this was Solomon that wrote this, and I believe it was, but I can't prove that. If it was, he can't figure out how it's all working. And our country's in a shambles, but we do know there's hope and there's life and there's fruit to be had in it. Maybe this is true. Listen as I read. If you turn at my reproof, if you turn, that's repent. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I want that. I will make my words known to you. I'll teach you my Bible. I want that. But because I have called and you refused to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has listened. Because you have ignored all my counsel and you would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I won't answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have had none of my counsel. They despised all my correction. Therefore, they will eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. I can see that happening in our country. So I will beat you to the foot of the cross. Let me put it that way. I will search my soul and be the first one on my face because I don't want that to be me or my family. And it's a hard time. So I'm not going to cast stones at anybody knowing that I myself have cursed others as well. If I hear them cursing me, I know I've spoken bad against other people too. So I'm not going to be throwing stones. That's not the answer. I'm going to be on my knees and I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you to the cross. To search my soul. To empty myself. To say, Lord, take my brilliance away and give me yours. That's Proverbs 1. You know Romans 1. This is the reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, or women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. The men gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion one for another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they didn't see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. There's your schemes. Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. I can see that. But it ain't going to be me. It ain't going to be me and my family. I will beat you to the cross to empty myself, to ask Him to purge me. If you think Facebook is purging right now, I'm going to ask God to purge me of my sin. Purge me. Humble me of my sin. Because that's the only way I'll survive and thrive in an adverse situation like we're in. Purge me. So if we had to sum this chapter up, it would look like this. Fear God and live in His wisdom. Put on humility in repentance. Don't throw stones. Like Solomon. What's next? It's beyond comprehension. I sought it, I searched for it, I've looked for it, I've tried, and I'm the wisest man on the planet. I asked God for it, and He gave me wisdom beyond measure, and I'm telling you, I can't find that needle in a haystack. I don't know what tomorrow brings, quite honestly. I know God made us upright, and our greedy little fingers reach out for every scheme and sin and thing known to man, and then we cast stones, and then we throw stones at everybody else. And the answer is, fear the Lord and fall on your face before Him and repent and begin a journey of wisdom with God beyond measure that is so fruitful you can't imagine and that glorifies Him in any situation. That is the answer Solomon gives us. Scorn His reproof, correction, instruction, fall on our face. Empty ourselves before Him. 100% forgiveness, begin a journey of wisdom. I choose that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this day. Help our hearts to turn to You. Lord, You are so good. You are the good one in this room. You are here and You are good. Thank You for forgiveness, for wisdom. Lord, help us think. Help us think. Think for ourselves. Help us search. Help us not to bow before this culture and the rulers and the wise men of this culture. Help us, like those wise men that came to the house to worship Jesus, help us all to bow before You, the Savior. We trust You. And that's a mouthful. We trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.